We're continuing in Idiot today, Mishnah Perek Daled, Mishnah Tet. So that means we're still in the Perek that is listing all of the differences that have a machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, where Beit Shammai is uncharacteristically the Mekel. And the next Mishnah also, we were learning before, Dinim that had to do with Yibum and being Mater for Yibum. So another machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is the question of Ma'amar. Now remember that Ma'amar is a takana derabbanan, that since we don't allow usually, we don't approve of people being Mekadesh Bebiya, and every time somebody takes a Yevoma, he's going directly to the equivalent of taking a woman directly with Bia, which is like not, it's not as sanua as the normal process of having a kedushin. So they said that it's appropriate to make a kedushin on a yevama. And that kedushin has the din called ma'amar. So you should speak out the fact that you are mikudeshetli, even though the zika of the Torah puts automatically a zika, that she's for all intents and purposes, unless she gets the normal heter from the Yibum, which if she's not going to be mityabemet would be chalitza. So that zika itself created the equivalent of a connection. They were still concerned for the level of kedusha that is given by ma'amar. And if you do give ma'amar, then you need a get for the ma'amar besides the chalitza for the kedusha. So this is the way that we normally understand it. Ma'amar is an additional iser mirabonan, which you have to take off with a get, and it doesn't affect in any way the reality of what was there before, which was the zika. So let's imagine a case like this. You've got three brothers. Now, two of these brothers are married to two sisters. One of them was not married at all. One of the two sisters' brothers dies. So now, the only one who would be able to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Yibum, would be the brother who is not married to the other sister. Why is that? Because if she falls to him, then she is an erva, correct? She's his wife's sister. The Torah only allows you to marry your brother's wife, but not other arayas. And since you are married to the sister of this woman, you cannot be miyabim her. So the only one who could be miyabim would be the one who wasn't married. He goes ahead, yeah, very good boy. He does ma'amar, and he hasn't gotten around to actually taking her before the other brother died, also without Yibum. So now we've got two sisters that fall to that same brother. He wasn't married to either of them. What's the problem? The problem is that since he already made ma'amar, now, what does the status of the ma'amar do to the falling of the other sister to him? Let's say that he had not made ma'amar. What would have been the problem? Well, the concept of zika, remember, means that she would be called achot zikukato. Achot zikukato is similar to achot ishto. The Torah said that a woman that is false to you for chalitza is already zikuka to you. The Torah has created a situation in which you cannot get rid of this woman unless you do chalitza. And therefore, it's similar to the concept of an achot isha, and you would not be able to take either of those women. And both of them, it's not enough to be considered married, and therefore it's not the din of tzora that you are potter completely from the other one that now falls, and therefore you wouldn't be able to take either of them. In this case, however, it's not just a problem of achot zikukato, because in this case you already made ma'amar. So Beit Shammai is very makel in this case. Why? Because Beit Shammai holds that ma'amar is a complete kinyan, even midiraisa. So if you're mekadesh a yevama with ma'amar, that basically means that you are fully married to this woman, Midiraisa. If you're married to a woman, Midiraisa, then the sister that falls to you didn't fall to you, because the Torah only allowed one woman that is Shayach to Yibam to fall to you, not an Erva, which we learned out from the Pasuk of Litzrot. And therefore, Beit Shammai says, since you're totally married to this woman, then you continue and you do the full marriage of the Yibam to the woman that you had done Ma'amar to, and therefore Ishto, because I hold the Ma'amar woman is a real wife, Ishto Imo, he keeps the woman that he made Ma'amar to. The other one does not require anything, no chalitza. She's Tetzeh because she is literally an Achotisha. So why would you do chalitza to her? That's ridiculous. And that means that once you're telling me that Ma'amar is a real Kedushin, so you've got this tremendous kula over here. This woman, whom according to Beit Hillel is chayevet in chalitza, you're letting her out, and she is now not requiring anything. Beit Hillel says, no, Ma'amar is not the equivalent of a D'oraisa Kedushin. Ma'amar is only a drabonan when we're talking about a yevama, and therefore we have a real problem because she is still chayevet. The other sister that falls with the brother that was married to the second sister dies. She is actually zikuka to him. A drabonan kiddushin doesn't take away the zika d'oraisa, and therefore you're going to have to do chalitza with her. And in this case, you also cannot marry the first woman. This is a disaster because she is also the Achot Zikukato, because the Ma'amar did not cancel the Zika of the second one. So Beit Hillel comes out to be very machmer over here. You need to give not only a get to the woman. You have to give a get. You can't marry her because she's Asura to you, because she's Achot Zikukatcha. So you have to remove the Ma'amar. You can't even do chalitza alone, because how are you going to take off the Ma'amar? It's a real disaster. So you're going to have to give both a get and chalitza to the same woman. The chalitza to take off the zikas yibum, and the get to take off the derabbanan Ma'amar. You can't marry the second one either. You don't have to give her a get, obviously, because there was no Ma'amar on her, but you do have to do chalitza because she did fall to you, because Achot Zikukato does not remove the chiyuv of Yibum and chalitza. It just creates an iser, and therefore you're left with the chiyuv to do chalitza. This is unbelievable. So that means Zuhi Jamru, this is what people said about this terrible case, tragedy, according to Beis Hillel, Oilo al Ishto, Oilo al Eshet Achiv, is really, really upset. You can see that Tzuri really appreciates the problem over here of the combined Achot. Yes, indeed, agreed. Of the combined Isser, don't press escape. Of the combined, the escape requires both get and chalitza, not just pressing escape. And in this case, you would, in fact, according to Beis Hillel, be really in tough shape. Mishnah Yud, another machlokas. This, of course, is unrelated to the Yibam situation we've been talking about. Here, the question is, somebody makes a neder that asers him. He cannot aser his wife from sexual connections to him because it's not his. That belongs to her. And how can a person aser someone else on something that she, in this case, has a right to? But he can aser himself in having the pleasures of intimacy with this woman. Well, that's the same thing as asering the hanoah of a sukkah on yourself. We're not going to have a person be engaging in an iser of a neder, and that's not going to be doicha, the fact that he has a mitzvah. It's not going to turn the sukkah into something that's mutter. So the same thing is true over here. If he asers himself on the pleasures of his wife, then he's got an issue, and he's not going to be able to be mekayim his chiyuvim to this woman. And what's the maximum that a situation like this is allowed to continue without his reading the parsha that we just read and taking care not to be like Yiftach and getting himself a heter for his neder? So Beit Shammai says, well, maximum is 2 weeks. If it's more than 2 weeks, so then she can go to Beis Din. Beis Din will give her a get, give her a ksuva, and this guy's out a wife and money. So according to Beit Shammai, we'll let that go on for 2 weeks. And that's a kula, because Beit Hillel says maximum that will allow that to go on is for 1 week. And therefore, according to Beit Hillel, she has access to the Beis Din immediately. So that was one question that we had. That's nogea this. Another question is nogea the idea of at what particular point is the chiyuv of bringing a korban going to be pottering, for leida I'm talking about, going to potter a new leida. What would be the case? Suppose a woman has a nekeva. So the din is that she has a total of 80 days before she gets back into her normal situation, which damnidas is aser. The first 14 days, she's considered to be tmeya leida. And then 66 days she has as yumei tayar. Now, 66 days is a long time. Long enough to impregnate her and for a fetus to grow until it's old enough to be considered a viable fetus, in which case, if she miscarries that fetus within the 80 days, so then that korban that she would be bringing at the end of the 80 days would be a korban that would be chal on all of her tumas leida and would be matir her at the end of the 80 days for achilas kodesh, right? Okay. So, of course, this is only possible if she had a girl, not if she had a boy, because there's not enough time in the 33 days that are remaining to have a viable fetus. Now, the question is like this. Suppose she has a miscarriage on the night before the 81st day. Now, the night, of course, is part of the next day, right? So it's after her Yemei Tohar, technically. But can she bring that korban at night? No, you can't bring in the korban at night. It's b'yom tzivos. So what does that mean? That we have an interesting question. The original chiyuv of the korban is today. Today is the 81st day. But it's the nighttime of the 81st day. So she was not as yet yotzei into a time in which she is ru'uya to bring her korban. Now the question is, the idea of mechuser zman. Now, people normally think of mechuser zman as being it's not yet shivas yomim tachas imay. But there's another concept of mechuser zman. A korban that is meant to be brought in the morning, but it's the night before. And since you can't bring the night a korban, does that mean that that is considered to be mechuser zman? And it's actually a different day? Or do we say that Lila is not considered to be mechuser zman? And this is the question over here. So according to Beit Shammai, she's putter from that korban for the second miscarriage. Because since she couldn't have brought that korban only because of a technicality, and therefore you'd say that technicality is enough to mean that it's not shayach to go on this. But if you hold that the halacha is that Laila is considered to be mechuser zman, so then it's after what is technically called melot, which is called melot because in the Torah it says melot yemei tohara. She never was considered to be in a zman in which the korban is shayach, because Laila is called mechuser zman. There is yet no korban. Whereas Beis Hillel says, it's not that it's mechuser zman, It's just that you don't have the opportunity to bring it. The Beis HaMikdash is an operative, so it's like the doors are locked. You're going to tell me because the doors are locked, so that changes the question of whether the carbon is challah or that's crazy. And I mean, you're going to say like, okay, if they lock the Beis HaMikdash for repairs for a week, so now that extra week is, means that the carbon that's going to be brought afterwards is the first time she can bring a carbon, and therefore she potters any miscarriage after that time? Nobody would say it's something nutty like that. So if you hold as Beis Hillel that the din is that Laila is considered not to be Mechusar Zman, she was already Yoitza L'sha'a Sheru'uya La'vi Korban. It's just that there's a logistical problem, not a technical problem. And a logistical problem doesn't change anything. Therefore, Aliba de Beit Hillel, the halacha is very clearly, she's got to bring a second carbon. So again, we find that Beit Shammai is Lekula, and Beit Shammai are Potrim in our carbon, and Beit Hillel are Mechayivim on the carbon. The next machlokas that we have is about a totally different issue. This is the shaila of what the din would be of putting in tcheles, which we were just learning about, dyed in the wool. So now the question is, since tcheles is actually dyed in the wool, do you put tcheles onto your linen? You've got a beggar that's made out of linen. As we know, the Gedilin Tasalach is a mitzvah that is doicha, even the iser of Tzemru Pishtim Yachta, they're put together. Ketilin Tasalach anyway. So, L'chora, you should be chayev to put in tcheles into this beged because the Torah said it's doicha, and that you're mechuyev to have your linen begadim with actual sadinim, with actual tcheles in it. Nonetheless, the halacha is that according to Beit Shammai, it is potter. And we don't actually allow you to put in the sadin betzitzis because we're afraid that if we're going to allow you in this case, you may end up putting it into a beged that is being worn at night or for night, depending on that machlokas. And therefore, you'd be wearing shatnez Shalo b'shas u'ri'itemoto. And ri'itemoto is only during the daytime. If now you're going to be sleeping in this, you will be sleeping, according to Beit Shammai, you cannot wear something that might be worn at night, even in the daytime, and because of that, it is usser. And you don't put in your tcheles into those kind of begadim. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, of course you're chayev, because if it sits during the daytime, so then the Torah was matir, they're not gezer, a beged that you're wearing in the yom, because of the laila. The next machlokas that we have is the kalkalat Shabbat. So what's the kalkalat Shabbat? You put aside a bunch of, which you can actually find in stores, a bunch of different beautiful peirot, that you were setting aside specially for Perot on Shabbos. Not that you would normally be able to afford all those beautiful Perot. Now, the problem is that those Perot are actually not meisered. Can you eat from them aroi before Shabbos? Beit Shammai says, yes, you can. You don't have to take off meiser. Beit Shammai potrim, even though you're never able to eat on Shabbos, because of the chashivas of Shabbos itself, you're never able to eat aroi. And even if it's literally nachilas aroi, the fact that it's Shabbos makes it choshev esudas kva. The question is, it's not Shabbos yet. I've got my basket, and on Shabbos, I understand, I'm going to have to take care of it before Shabbos. Can I now simply take a peach out of that and eat it b'derech aroi without taking off meiser? Beit Shammai says, yes, you can. Whereas Beit Hillel says, the very fact that you are miyachet peres for Shabbos gives it the chashivas of a kvius of a sudah Shabbos, and you're mechuyev immediately to take off trumas and meiseres and can no longer be senech on achilas aroi So we've got very, very different span of machlokas here in this Mishnah, which is filling up our 23 different machlokas in between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and rapidly approaching the exciting end of our parak, which we will do Bezrat Hashem tomorrow.